WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Food is one of the most basic stuffs of life and gives us much pleasure, but can also be a source of concern. My guests today, in honor of March being National Nutrition Month, are going to talk about basic nutritional concepts and the concept of intuitive eating. I recently spoke with Vanessa Oliver and Dr. Karen Bryla McNeese, registered dietitians with UK Health and Wellness, about National Nutrition Month and intuitive eating. Well, Karen and Vanessa, thank you so much for talking with me today by Zoom. And this is National Nutrition Month because it's March, and I wanted to touch base with you and see if there was anything in particular in this subject that is so fundamental to our survival and our pleasure of life that you would want to talk about.
Greg, thank you so much. Yes, we would really love the opportunity to talk about something called intuitive eating. It's something that has been a movement for at least 25 years when a book on intuitive eating was first published by two dietitians, Evelyn Triboli and Elise Reich. But it seems to be something that is just gaining more and more momentum over time, and something that our clients frequently ask us about.
Well, and in no pun intended, but intuitively, I can't really figure out in my mind what that might be. What is the definition of intuitive eating?
Right. Intuitive eating is often defined as a self-care framework that integrates instinct and emotion and rational thought to help you guide your food-related decisions. It's anti-diet, it's also weight-inclusive, and it's highly evidence-based. Again, because it's been around now for 25 years, there is a really compelling body of evidence about its effectiveness. And really, it's all about trusting your body's inner wisdom that we are all born with from the time that we were babies. We know when we're hungry and we're full, and we eat when we're hungry and we stop eating when we're full, and we lose touch of that as we go into adulthood. And so intuitive eating is something that helps people get back in touch with that.
And two things you just said, and perhaps Vanessa, you can expand on this. It's not a diet, and weight inclusive. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so another way to think about it is peaceful eating, and that's P-E-A-C-E. It doesn't mean that you eat perfectly all the time, but what it does is it helps you make your relationship with food a little bit more effortless, so it can take up less emotional and mental energy. And that can be helpful, especially if you find yourself kind of consumed with worry about portions, or what's the right food, or I'm eating the wrong food, etc.
Well, and you mentioned emotion. And of course, we all come to the dinner table with memories and I guess associations with food. Is that part of what intuitive eating is about? And I still want to visit with you both on the fact that it's not a diet. This is not a prescription in any way of telling people what to do and when to do it.
Right. Yeah. So we do bring a lot to the table, of course, when it comes to food and eating. And it's, you know, hunger often plays a role, but it doesn't. You know, we have a lot of different associations. And unfortunately, some of the associations that we have with food are confusion, shame, anxiety. And what intuitive eating can do is provide a safer place for practitioners to explore new information, new ways of thinking, and maybe experimenting with changes that speak more to self-compassion than what they're used to.
And Karen, I'm thinking along the lines, and forgive me if this is a bad analogy, of like cognitive therapy, where is intuitive eating teaching us to be thinking about what we're doing, why we're doing it, to maybe know ourselves a little bit better?
Yes, it has a lot of crossover with that. It has a lot of crossover with mindful eating. And like I said, what intuitive eating helps you do is really get in touch with your body's inner wisdom and the cues and information our body is giving us all the time. Unfortunately, when people are on a dieting cycle, they're stuck, right? And they start with this, you know, desire to shrink their body. And so they restrict what they're eating. Then naturally they get cravings. Then they experience a loss of control around their eating, right? Because they eventually give in because we're human. And then they experience that shame and guilt. And then that cycle repeats, right? So that is why intuitive eating is so important for people who are stuck in that cycle. And that's why we say it's actually not a diet, because with intuitive eating, there's no external rules. There's no what we call dieting tools. There's no scales. There's no calorie tracking apps. There's no food lists of things to eat and not eat, because those are all things that actually interfere again and move us away from honoring our body's true needs and getting in touch with that inner wisdom.
And it sounds like this is really, I don't know if this is the right phrase, culturally disruptive, because it seems to be going against what, at least for the last 50, 60 years, people have been acculturated to expect, that I'm going to have a dietitian or a diet tell me exactly what to eat, when to eat it, that sort of thing. So this is a radical departure from that.
Yeah, and I'll say to you that a lot of people who have a history maybe of being on that diet roller coaster may turn to intuitive eating with the initial thought of it's a diet that's going to help to lose weight. I will say that if you focus on losing weight, it will interfere with intuitive eating, because as Karen said, weight loss is that external process which has as its primary goal that definition of achievement of subsuming all of your internal desires, right? The very internal desires that intuitive eating seeks to connect you with, then those two goals are always going to be at odds. Because when you do focus on weight, you are putting your attention on those external measures for eating, rather than connecting you with your internal cues. So this is not to shame anybody who desires to lose weight at all, right? It's understandable given the tenacity of the diet culture that we live in. But what intuitive eating aims to bring is this permission to embrace a fulfilling life in the body that you're currently in, rather than putting off fulfillment while you chase this externally measured ideal that may or may not happen.
Well, and that just makes me think of for me anyway, as I know for both of you, food is such an integral part of the pleasure of life. In and of itself, it's a wonderful thing. It also keeps us alive. And it's this focal point where even in the age of a pandemic, whether it's virtually or in the real, we can all come together. Is that that good feeling, that socialization, that even an expression of love for those around us, is that part of intuitive eating as well?
It absolutely is, right? That people are always being told, right, what, you know, there's something wrong with them, there's something wrong with their bodies. But we know, like you already mentioned, we've talked about, that it's a cultural thing. The culture is wrong, right, in terms of the emphasis it puts on body size and values that diet culture. So intuitive eating really can help you, again, kind of take your power back and help you understand that eating is a source of pleasure, and it should be, and it's a source of connection to other people, right? Eating is not supposed to be a source of shame and guilt, like we've been talking about that it is for so many people. So if that's something that people are struggling with, to find that joy in food, to feel like it's a way they connect with people, then intuitive eating really is something that we encourage them to explore.
Yeah, it gives you that framework, right, Karen? I mean, so if you're looking for a way to eat in a way that's satisfying and pleasurable, or if you found yourself spending a lot of time worrying and feeling guilty about food choice, again, intuitive eating can help you let go of these thoughts, and you'll discover more time and energy in your day, which we're all looking for, right? That's what we all want, is more time in the day. One thing that we do want to acknowledge, though, that for both of, well, I shouldn't speak for Karen, but for myself, and for that matter, the architects behind intuitive eating and the entire premise of intuitive eating, we have certain privileges, right? We're white, we're thin privileged, And we acknowledge that, we acknowledge these privileges, and also that we have not experienced true in food insecurity or weight stigma or lack of access to resources that might keep people from practicing intuitive eating. And we don't even know all the reasons that people might not be able to access these resources too. But as dietitians and within intuitive eating as a framework, we're constantly growing and evolving in order to address the self-care needs of our population. And intuitive eating really does offer the room for exploration to do that.
Where can folks go if they want to get more information about intuitive eating? Are there resources they can go to? And of course, anything you send me, we'll put up on the website.
Yes. If people are interested in exploring intuitive eating, there's a couple places they might start. Just to kind of dip their toes into the water, they could go to intuitiveeating.org, which is the website by, again, the dietitians that developed intuitive eating, Evelyn Tribbley and Elise Reich. And so you could get a nice overview there of what intuitive eating is. You can find out about the 10 principles of intuitive eating that you can learn about and explore. And then if that interests people, they can go ahead and maybe get on Amazon or wherever you buy your books and buy the intuitive eating book by those dietitians. It is meant for a wide audience. You do not have to be a health professional. It's meant for anybody who just wants to learn more about intuitive eating and learn how to practice it. There's also an accompanying workbook that people could buy along with that book if they'd like to work through some of the practices as well that the authors recommend.
Is there anything we haven't touched on that you would want our listeners to know about before we part?
I would add that one place to start for people, and we've touched on this a little bit, but if you read the book and listen to the authors of intuitive eating, they'll often recommend that if people aren't sure where to start with intuitive eating, that one of the principles they might start with is finding satisfaction in their food. And if you think about it, right, how many times, and I'll ask the audience that, right, how often do you ask yourself, do I truly love what I'm eating? Am I truly enjoying this food or this meal? Did I really feel good both psychologically and physically after I ate this food? And these are the kinds of questions you can ask yourself to start tuning into how satisfying your meals are. Because again, when we're stuck in diet culture and we're following somebody else's rules, we're not asking ourselves those questions and connecting with that. So that could be a great place to start.
I'd also add to Greg that, and this can be challenging, especially if maybe you've never asked yourself this, but think about your levels of self-compassion, especially with regard to eating and how you talk to yourself. And if it's different than how you would talk to a very dear friend or loved one who is struggling with anything. And if this is very different, then how would things change if you started speaking more kindly to yourself, you know? And particularly, again, if you're coming to intuitive eating from a history of being stuck in that cycle of guilt and shame and dieting and gaining back, then this self-examination, while maybe feeling a little bit unnatural at first, can be helpful, you know? And also ask yourself if you've put any aspects of your life on hold while you've been waiting for whatever perfection means to you. And if you have, then ask yourself what you would need in order to explore whatever you're waiting for in the body that you currently exist in. Is there a big difference? And lots of times you'll realize that this fantasy of perfection makes you stuck in this holding pattern, and this feeling of being stuck is the driver of a lot of dissatisfaction. And unfortunately, management of this dissatisfaction can come out in a lot of food-related ways. If you're more satisfied with the body that you currently have, you're going to be less inclined to seek out unhelpful coping mechanisms. And I think that's where intuitive eating really shines.
My thanks today to UK Health and Wellness Registered Dietitians Dr. Karen Bryla-McNeese and Vanessa Oliver for talking with me about National Nutrition Month and intuitive eating. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.